Hello, everyone. My name is Mark Torgerson. I'm a recovered alcoholic. Welcome, everyone, to the 53rd Annual Las Vegas Roundup. We are glad everyone is here, especially newcomers. My name is Mark. I'm an alcoholic. After a moment of silence for those still suffering in and out of these rooms, please join me in the Serenity Prayer. This is a sponsorship panel, and each of our speakers will speak for 20 minutes, sharing their experience, strength, and hope with us as it relates to sponsoring others and being sponsored. And looks like I'll be starting, so I'll introduce myself. I'm Mark. I'm a recovered alcoholic. It's a real honor to be up here. Thank you. I'm going to try and jam in about 6 hours of material in 20 minutes. So I'm going to share my experience on sponsorship, and I know that that may not jive with someone else's experience. If whatever I say you don't agree with and you're sober and happy, by all means, continue to do what you're doing, right? But I'm the guy that I didn't get this right away. I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I suffered immensely. I was in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out for approximately 7 years trying to get sober. And the thing is, I wanted to get sober. And the pocket where I was from, the only thing that was being said to me was go to meetings. Meetings and meetings and meetings and meetings. And that's what I was doing. I was hitting a ton of meetings, and I was dying on the inside. I remember being told to go to 90 meetings in 90 days, and I went to 100 meetings in 90 days, and I wanted to put a bullet in my head. I was suffering from untreated alcoholism, and I didn't know what was going on. I thought there must be something else to this, right? I remember going to the doctors, and I was diagnosed with ADD, ADHD, bipolar, manic, depressed, you name it. What I've come to learn is I'm a garden variety alcoholic. There's nothing special about me, and I don't need any of that other stuff. I think with anyone that's in recovery, you find that spot between seconds and inches. It might be a conversation that you have, turning left instead of going right. Might be a Facebook post. Maybe someone coming and talking to you in the hospital. Something happened along the way which changed your life forever. For me, it was a click of a mouse. I was in and out of Alcoholics Anonymous for 7 years, dying of untreated alcoholism, contemplating suicide. And I remember clicking a mouse and wandering into an online AA meeting that was like no other that I've ever participated in. And it was a group that cared more for me than my feelings. They did not care about how I felt. They did not care about what I thought. They only cared about what my actions were. The deal is with this group is I was a signed sponsor day one, right? And if I didn't like that, get out. Now, I was, of course, was offended because I'm an alcoholic and I'm easily offended, but I was intrigued. I was intrigued enough to stay, and I was suffering enough that I decided to stay. And this woman from New York took me through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous in a really quick fashion. We went through the work in somewhere between 2 and 3 weeks. And the big thing with her was pushing me very quickly into helping other alcoholics. Now, the pocket of recovery that I was in, I was taught that the sponsor is your life coach and you're supposed to come to them with all your problems. And I remember going back to this lady. It was always based on relationship drama, right? And I would come to this lady and I'd say, you know, I got drama and I want to talk about it. And she would always say the same thing to me. Did you help another alcoholic today? And if the answer was no, click. Right? Now, I'm a fairly tough sponsor. I don't do that personally, but it is what I needed at the time. I was an artful manipulator and a skilled liar. And it taught me what my ultimate pathway out of this was one-on-one work with another alcoholic. That has been my go-to for all of my recoveries since, right? More than prayer, more than meditation, more than calling my sponsor, more than meetings, right? Especially when I don't feel like doing it. mean, this whole gig is easy when you feel good, but when you especially don't when you don't want to. I'm going to try and jam in about 6 hours worth of material, and I'll probably got about 15 minutes left, right? So I'm just going to get right into the meat and potatoes of some of this, and maybe it might spark a little controversy. It might spark some ideas. Hopefully we'll have a little bit of time at the end to a little bit of Q&A. We'll see how that goes. But I've taken approximately between 60 and 70 people through the steps now, either in a sponsorship or a co-sponsorship position. Now, the majority of those people are still sober. So I've just marked down a few bullet points, and I'm not going to expand on these too in depth, just purely because we don't have the time, some of the things that that were taught to me and worked for me. Pretty much everything can be reconciled with the big book. One of the big things is I approach the newcomer. I do not wait for them to come to me. One of the big things in our pocket of recovery where I'm from is these meeting lists that go around when there's a newcomer, and everyone writes their name down. I've written down hundreds and hundreds of times my name. I've gotten one call, and it was a drunk guy wanting to ride home, right? So at least in my pocket recovery, those lists have been ineffective. I approach the newcomer. I typically look for the guy sitting close to the door with his head down, not the one sitting up front waiting to spew out about divorce or traffic, right? I'm looking for the one that's close to the door ready to bail. Right? Those are the ones I want to hook in. And I had a lot of fear around that at first. I thought it had to be, I had to quote the big book and have this grandiose share. And it doesn't have to be anything grandiose. It's just simply, hey, how are you? My name's Mark. Would you like to go for a coffee? Right? And you let God take it from there. And that's worked unbelievably well. I qualify the newcomer. I make sure that they're in the right fellowship. I ask a couple of questions right away. What happens when you start drinking? What happens when you stop drinking? Right? I find to see if their problem is actually alcohol and if they're maybe in the wrong fellowship, right? And I'll help them steer them towards the right fellowship. I'll outline what a sponsor is and what it isn't right away, as it was outlined with me. And like I said, if what you do as a sponsor is completely different than this, by all means, keep doing it, right? But what was taught to me is that what a sponsor isn't, is I'm not your therapist, I'm not your counselor, I'm not your driver, I'm not your banker, I'm not your higher power, I'm not your mom, I'm not your dad. What my job is as a sponsor is to take you through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, get you connected to a higher power that's going to help solve your problems. And then I'm going to help co-sponsor as you now go out and find someone else to share this message with, because there's a lot of fear with these newcomers, especially in early recovery, on becoming a sponsor. Now my job is to co-sponsor, and I do a ton of co-sponsoring back home. I see if they're willing to go to any lengths. So two questions I'll ask them. A, are you willing to go to any lengths? And B, I tell them I fully expect you to help other alcoholics once we're done this process. If the answer is no to either of those questions, we're done. I'll still be nice to them at meetings, but they no longer get another minute of my personal time. If they decide down the road that yes, they are now willing to go to any lengths, by all means, they have my full attention again. I've gone to another extreme with that. There's an open page in the big book right at the very front. And I now have anyone that I sponsor sign a contract. Right? On that open page, I have them say, I, so-and-so, am willing to go to any length to recover from alcoholism. Then I have them sign it, and then I have them date it, so that when they start whining about writing inventory, when they start whining about making amends, or when they start whining about doing 12-step work, I can bring them back to that day. It's like, where's that guy? Right? Where was that guy that was desperate to get well? They're like, oh, yeah. Yeah, because what I do know about the alcoholic is the resurgence power of the ego, right? Sometimes just a few days go by, and they start to feel a little bit better, and they think they don't need the right. They don't think they need to make amends, right? It allows me to go back to this contract and make them accountable. I work the steps fast with anyone that I take through the work, typically between 2 and 3 weeks, never any more than a month. It is precisely what worked for me. I was dying from a progressive and a fatal illness. I needed relief, and I needed relief quickly. I do encourage them to join big book studies and go through things line by line and get a deeper understanding. right? But I do know that I needed to work these steps fast, like the desperation of a drowning man. I don't have any dependencies. I want them dependent upon God and not me. I'm not a certified life coach. I don't get involved with who they date. I don't get involved with where they work. I don't get involved with where they live. Right? I try to get them involved with the 12 steps, which gets them connected to a higher power, which helps them with their problems. Now, I will share my experience on something if I have experience on something. If I don't have experience on something, I send them to the right person. Right? If they're having troubles with the law, I don't pretend to be a lawyer. I send them to a lawyer. I let them know right away that the ultimate goal is to make them a future sponsor. There was a study that I recently seen of 500 alcoholics and addicts. And what the study, it studied three groups. The first group was a group that just went to meetings, and the recovery rates were not good. And the second group was a group that went to meetings, got a sponsor, and did the steps. And oddly enough, the recovery rates were better, but not that much better. And then there was a third group that went to meetings, got a sponsor, did the steps, and became sponsors. And that group had a 75% recovery rate, which reconciled with the forward of the second edition, right, when they talked about 50% got sober at once and 25% after a few relapses, right? To me, that's 75%. So I let them know that their ultimate goal is to make them a future sponsor. And if we're going through something in the book and they say, well, that doesn't really apply to me, I'm like, we're going to talk about it anyways because it might apply to the next guy. This isn't about you anymore, right? As soon as they're done the steps, I get them actively looking for someone to sponsor as soon as possible. My job is now to co-sponsor with them. I know that there's a lot of fear around sponsorship. So now my job is to sit with them to help them get through that fear for the first couple of guys as I take them through the steps. About 6 years ago, a man out of Texas by the name of Chris Raymer started sponsoring me, and I know when I call him now with, and it always goes back to usually drama, right? Usually relationship drama. He always asks me one thing. Where are you in the circle and the triangle? Plot yourself. Are you working all three parts? Recovery, unity, and service. I do believe this to be a disease of perception. What I do find that if I'm not working all three parts of this program, how I view the world is often very skewed. Right? I get centered back into the middle of the circle and the triangle, right? I make sure I'm being of service. I'm doing prayer and meditation. I'm being helpful to other alcoholics. I'm sponsoring others, right? What I find out is maybe that drama that I would have deemed as a 9 doesn't completely go away, but it's maybe now about a 4, right? My ultimate thing to share with anyone here is a message of hope. Whether you're new or struggling in sobriety, my message is that you can get well. You can get well quickly. That has been my experience, and that is after someone who has suffered immensely in this program for a lot of years. So my suggestion is find someone that knows their way around this big book and get busy. So thank you. Now I'd like to introduce Lawrence.
I'm an alcoholic. My name is Lawrence Mazur. Thanks for having me here today. Pretty much everything Mark said is what I want to say, so thanks, bye. No. I got to admit, I am nervous. And I heard a guy early on in my recovery, and he was speaking up at this podium, and he said, you know, I'm going to tell you, he said, I'm nervous here. And if anybody ever tells you they don't get nervous in Alcoholics Anonymous, period, he said, keep an eye on that person, because they'll probably lie about something else too, you know. Probably the most important thing that I want to say to start with here on this sponsorship panel is I have a sponsor and I have sponsees. You know, I come into Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't come here voluntarily. Let's put it that way. I didn't, you know, wake up one morning and say, man, you know, I don't want to drink anymore and I think I got to join Alcoholics Anonymous. I come in through a series of circumstances, and when I first got into Alcoholics Anonymous, I was one of these guys that used to just go to meetings and sit in the back corner and sit by the door. I was one of those guys that Mark was looking for, but I got away from him for a long time. And the first guy that I had sponsor me in Alcoholics Anonymous, unfortunately for me, he cared more about my feelings than he did about how I was actually doing. And I suffered in Alcoholics Anonymous for a long time through missponsorship, through misinformation. But for some reason, God kept me around here long enough to, and not even by my own accord, to be set up with some people that actually cared more about how I was doing than how I was feeling. And I clearly remember, and this guy, Barry, he spotted me in a meeting, and he came up to me afterwards, and he said, Lawrence, I'm going to take this other guy, so I'm going to take him through the steps, and I was wondering if maybe you would like to come and join and maybe help me take him through the steps. I'm like, yeah, of course I would, you know. I can do that, right? Haven't really worked a step. I've been around here for a while, but I haven't really worked a step. Little did I know that he was actually becoming my temporary sponsor. He was going to be the sponsor that was going to take me through the steps. And he did take me through the steps. And it became pretty paramount in a short period of time, because right at that time, when I was finally going through the steps and finally getting some recovery from Alcoholics Anonymous, as Alcoholics Anonymous was based on, was Alcoholics Anonymous is based on, I went through what I call the most tragic part of my life. I lost my son to this disease of alcoholism, and it was a really ugly situation. He was in jail on an attempted murder charge, and he got a bunch of drugs and he overdosed in jail, and they pumped him up and they sent him to a hospital and they put him on a life support system, and 10 days later he was dead in jail. And 10 days later, they made me make the decision to take him off this life support so that they wouldn't be responsible for his death. And I know today, if it wasn't for the sponsorship that I got from Barry, if I still would have been under the regime of my first sponsor with no recovery, I know today that I wouldn't be able to stand. I wouldn't be standing here, guys. I know I wouldn't be standing here in front of you and being able to share this and being able to share it with some recovery under my belt, with some, you know, factual things, instead of talking about, you know, how it broke my heart and how I, you know, I cried and everything. It is part of my story. It's part of my life, and it's the saddest thing that I went through. But I was able to get through it, and I know how I got through it. I got through it through the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, through the sponsorship of Alcoholics Anonymous. I know that as a fact today, and I remember the night that they called me to go to the hospital to tell me this news and to make this decision. And probably 6 months before that, or maybe even 3 months before that, my reaction to that would have been, I would have went to the hospital, I would have did that, I would have been heartbroken, I would have crawled into a corner, and I probably would have found a bottle of drugs or whatever I would have done. But that night, my reaction was to jump into the fellowship. I needed the fellowship at that time to support me, and I didn't turn my back on the fellowship. I got more involved in the fellowship. I started to get a craving for Alcoholics Anonymous after that that I never ever had prior to that, because I thought, wow, if this can get me through that, what else can it get me through? You know, because I never thought that I could get through any kind of hardship like that, and it did. So I got a craving for Alcoholics Anonymous. I got a craving for the information. I got a craving for the nuts and bolts of Alcoholics Anonymous. I wanted to know more about what it was. Unfortunately, Barry suffered a brain injury right after that period of time, and he's still alive, and he's still a great guy, and I talked to him, and as a matter of fact, I've told people this story for years and years, and that, and Barry is still around Alcoholics Anonymous, but he's not around very much, and not a lot of people know him, And it was kind of cool because last year I was at a meeting with one of my sponsees that I've sponsored for several years now. And we were at a meeting at Alcoholics Anonymous, and Barry happened to be there. And it gave me a sense of pride and joy to see Barry there and to introduce him to some people that had talked about him, you know, in the past. And that he is real, you know, he wasn't a made-up guy that I talked about, you know, that I, my little made-up friend from when I was in kindergarten. But, through that craving of wanting to Alcoholics Anonymous, I knew that my first sponsor couldn't sponsor me anymore. And I had to find another sponsor. And I went for a while. I went for a while without a sponsor. And unfortunately, without a sponsor, I wasn't sponsoring anybody. I was staying sober, and I wasn't growing. But I knew I needed a sponsor, and I needed somebody that had the passion and the zest for Alcoholics Anonymous that I thought I was. And I went to a convention much like this, and we didn't get to the convention until Saturday, and somebody was saying to me, "Oh, you should have heard this speaker last night. He was so on point. He was like big book. He was like just talking about everything." And I'm thinking to myself, wow, that's the kind of guy that I'm looking for to be my sponsor. And we were sitting in the room. We were sitting around the table. There was four or five of us, and one of the guys at the table was one of my sponsees, and we're sitting around the table there, In comes Dale walking in the back corner. Now, I know Dale from the fellowship and from we ride motorcycles together, so I've known Dale for a few years. And Dale comes in walking from the back corner, and someone turns around, "Oh, there's our speaker from last night." And I knew at that instant that that's who's going to be my sponsor. Dale is my sponsor still to this day. Mark knows him really well. I know Mark works with him quite a bit. And Dale is a fundamentalist AA guy. You can't talk to Dale about anything without him taking you back into the big book. And that's exactly what this alcoholic needs. And through that kind of a sponsorship, I've been able to stay away from alcohol. I've been able to grow spiritually. I've been able to grow mentally. And I've been able to emanate that sponsorship to my sponsees. Now, when I deal with my sponsees, I deal with my sponsees the exact same way that Dale does. I don't tell my sponsees what they have to do. I pretend like nobody. I have no idea. I have no idea in this room what it's going to take any of you to stay recovered. I have no idea whatsoever. I know what I do. I know exactly what I do, and that's all I can share with you. And that's exactly what I do with my sponsees. I have lots of sponsees that call up, and just like Mark was talking about, I call Dale sometimes with some drama I call Dale with, you know, world problems that I have or something that's, you know, going askew. And usually the first thing Dale asks me is, what have you done for another person today? Let alone an alcoholic, what have you done for another person today? And if I tell him, well, you know, I've been busy. And he doesn't buy into that. He doesn't buy into that. And I don't buy into that with my sponsees. And it's just the way that I lead my sponsorship, because that's the way that I'm taught. It's like, I'll tell you what I've done if I have experience in it. If I don't have experience in it, I know enough people. I've been around Alcoholics Anonymous now since September 1st, 2000. I've been sober since September 1st, 2000. Even though I've had some periods of suffering through alcoholics in the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, I've never, ever found it necessary to take a drink since then. So I've gotten to know a lot of people. I'm involved in Alcoholics Anonymous, actually both from where I am. I guess I didn't say that at the beginning when I introduced myself. I'm from Calgary, Alberta, Canada, but I also live part-time in Las Vegas, Nevada. I've been coming to this roundup since 2004, and I've been coming to Las Vegas on a steady basis since 2004, and I ended up buying a house down here a few years ago, so I spent a lot of time down in Las Vegas, and I'm involved in Alcoholics Anonymous in Las Vegas. Like, I don't see too many familiar faces here today, but I can come into a lot of meetings in Alcoholics Anonymous in Vegas, and I know people, you know, and I stay involved. And through that, why I'm sharing that is through that, I've heard a lot of stories. So when I have a sponsee that talks to me about something and asks me about something, if I don't have the experience to share with that sponsee something that I can relate and I can tell them how I got to something like that, I usually have somebody that I know that has gone through something like that, and I can get them connected, and I can have them share their story with them. Not to tell them what to do, to show them how they got through that, to show them what happened with them, to show them that it's possible to get through this with some hope and some grace and some dignity. You know, before I come to Alcoholics Anonymous, all I ever wanted was, I wanted to be happy. I wanted to be free. I wanted to have, you know, some semblance of what I declared normalcy. And I could never do that. Today in Alcoholics Anonymous, I can tell you that. I can be happy, and I am free. There's lots of days that I'm not happy, and it has absolutely nothing to do with Alcoholics Anonymous or my higher power. It has absolutely everything to do with Lawrence Mazur, you know. It's like, I didn't, when they asked me to do this, I said yes. About 2 days later, I didn't want to do this. About 2 minutes before I walked in here, I didn't want to do this. But at the same time, I know that I've been put here for a purpose. I have no idea what it is. But I'm here for a purpose. And all I'm trying to do here today is share with you guys my experience, my strength, and my hopes. Now, I've gotten all that through the direct results of the fundamentals of the Big Book. You know, before I come to Alcoholics Anonymous, I had a lot of ideas, and they were some great ideas. And I'm sure if I'd have wrote them down and you guys, I could have read some of those ideas to you guys, I'm sure you guys would have thought they were great ideas too. But today I know where those ideas got me. Those ideas got me right here in Alcoholics Anonymous. And when I was a kid thinking about what I was going to do for the rest of my life, one of the things I thought about doing wasn't joining Alcoholics Anonymous. So my ideas, my emotions, and my thoughts are not very good. So my sponsor took me through the steps, and he teaches me the Big Book. And he can refer to the Big Book anytime I have a problem when it comes to dealing with what I deem as my problems, you know, as my issues of the day, as my problem of today. And it's always, always. Like, I was standing over there talking to our morning speaker, and Cody was there, and Mark was there, and I haven't phoned my sponsor yet because I didn't have time before we started this. But I got a resentment. I got to tell you guys, I got a resentment. I walked in here last night and I got registered, and now I see that everybody that gets to come up on the stage and gets to speak, they have a little red tag hanging off their name tag. So I got some work to do when I leave here. I got to phone my sponsor, and I got to get through this resentment that I have. But you know, I know exactly what's going to happen with Dale when he gets me through this resentment. He goes, well, he's going to tell me, he's going to ask me, like, what natural instinct does that affect? And he's going to, what do you mean? What natural instinct does it affect? Does it affect your, you know, your sex instincts, your ambitions in sex, or your emotional sobriety? He's going to take me through the process of the fourth step, and I'm going to get through that resentment. I'm going to find out exactly what my part is. And when I find out what my part is, then and only then, you know, the spirit of the sunlight will start to shine in me, and I'll get some serenity again. And that's exactly what I try to do with my sponsees. I have some sponsees up in Canada. There's some, just like in the States here, there's some pretty remote places. But I remember one of my sponsees called me up, and he had some huge life issues. Like, it was, his life was going sideways, and he couldn't see how he was going to stay away from the liquor store. And unfortunately, the little town that he's in, there's only about 4 meetings a week there. So I asked him on the phone, and I know his situation, I know where he lives just a little bit out of the town itself, and I know a few of his neighbors that lives by, and I said, what's your neighbor's lawn look like today? And he's like, what are you talking about? I said, what's your neighbor's lawn look like today? And he said, well, looks green grass. I said, is it trimmed? Is it cut? Does it look neat? And he says, no. He says, a couple of little old ladies live beside him, and they haven't been able to get out for a while. I said, tell you what, go cut your neighbor's lawn and give me a call when you're done cutting your neighbor's lawn. And he goes, I'm not going to cut my neighbor's lawn. I said, please, go cut your neighbor's lawn for me. Would you do it for me? Would you just go cut your neighbor's lawn and give me a call when you're done cutting your neighbor's lawn? So about an hour and a half later, he calls me. I said, how you doing? He said, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. And that was something that I was taught way back in the beginning. It says in the big book that I'm going to be a maximum service to all God's children. To all God's children. And sometimes, you know, there isn't another alcoholic to work with. Does that not mean that I can't not be of service? Of course I can be of service. I can be of service in many, many ways. As long as I'm getting out of myself, how could it be a wrong thing? You know? So I was taught that a long time ago, and that's something even to this day that I do, and my sponsor gives me credit for it all the time, so it can't be a wrong thing, you know. I'm really good at solving problems. It's just something that comes natural to me. I'm really good at solving problems and mechanical problems, and I help a lot of people fix cars, mostly motorcycles, but I will help them fix cars too, and I know a little bit about a lot of things, but not all, you know, but I'm good at solving problems, and I'm good at helping people, and I'm good at showing people how to solve problems like that. And I do that outside of this fellowship. And my sponsor always tells me, like when I was first doing it and I was telling him about it, I was thinking that I was, you know, being selfish. I should get more into trying to help alcoholics. And he says, no, he says, you're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing today. That person needed that help. And I remember we were on a motorcycle trip one time, and I remember how that trickled down, because I was on a motorcycle trip with my sponsor and one of my sponsees. And we went to a Walmart to pick something up late in the evening, and there was this lady, and she was trying to get her groceries in her car, and she looked like she was having a little bit of a struggle, and immediately, my sponsee ran over to the little van to help her put those groceries in the van. And Dale and I sat there and we looked at him. It was kind of a neat moment for both of us. It was kind of a neat moment for both of us. Because that's how Dale had always taught me. And obviously I had shared that same message to my sponsees, and our sponsorship family works that way to this day. And I think it's a cool thing. Because it's exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be a maximum of service to all God's children in and outside of these rooms. And through that, I get to stay sober. I get to stay sober. I like that story about Bill Wilson, you know, 6 months into this thing trying to help alcoholics, right? And he didn't think he was helping anybody. You know, and thank God for Lois. You know, never mind Bill Wilson, thank God for Lois. It was Lois who recognized, right? He was still sober. He was still sober. I have one of my sponsees, and we do these big book studies that I know Cody was talking about, or sorry, Mark was talking about, big book studies that go on some places. And one of my sponsees, we put on 2 big book studies a year usually, sometimes 3. And I know every time we start these big book studies, and we got a whole room full of people, and I say to them, I say, I have no idea. I have no idea. It's like today. I have no idea. I have no idea if this is going to help anybody. I have no idea if that big book study is going to help anybody. I do know one person that's going to help for sure. I do know one person, and it's going to help me. It's going to help me. I have what I consider a Swiss cheese brain. I put this information in, and it kind of sloshes around in there, and it'll find itself a hole, and it'll fall out. And then I'll forget about it. So I stay involved and I stay putting that information in my brain over and over and over again so that I don't forget. Because I don't ever want to forget where I come from. Because I might end up like my son. I might end up like my son and many of other of us that have come into this fellowship and have floundered and have had to die over this disease. Today I don't have to die. Today I get to live. Happy, sober, and free. I think I've spoken enough today, so I'm going to introduce Cody to come up and close.
Hey, all, my name's Cody Lott. I'm a recovered alcoholic.
Hey, Cody.
Boy, batting cleanup after these two guys is not going to be an easy feat. I want to thank both these guys for getting up here and talking and getting me a chance to come up here and speak. I want to thank Greg and Vicky. You guys couldn't see it. Vicky was, she must have ballet shoes on. She was standing on her tiptoes. I was sitting over there and I was like, she's about to tip over. She's about to tip over. She didn't do it, but almost did. So, I've got a couple of things. Man, just great stuff. And I'm not going to beat a dead horse. Is everybody in here clear why we drank? Right? It says in the big book that we drank because we like the effects produced by alcohol. So it's like, why do we sponsor? I like the effects produced by sponsorship. Okay? It talks about in A Vision for You. It says the two friends knew that they must help others if they were to stay sober. But that feeling was transcended, right, by a gift of giving to see others recover. That's what Dale was just talking about. Or just what he was talking about with his sponsor Dale when they saw the little sponsee do that. It was like it hits you right here. You're like, oh my God, God's used me as a vessel to help some. Holy shit. God's used me, a worthless alcoholic, to help somebody get sober. How cool is that? So if you're not sponsoring, you're missing out on some really cool blessings. Okay? So I was talking to Matt a little bit about this. There's a couple of different ways to kind of look at this. So it's about sponsorship. So when I brought this into meditation, there's two different things. What to look for in a sponsor, right? If I'm going to look for a sponsor, and what are my duties as a sponsor? So I'm going to kind of start with that and go. So, when I'm looking for a sponsor, and I've had the same sponsor for 13 years, but I was taught this by him when I talk with new guys, is I want to find somebody that's had a spiritual experience as a result of working the steps. Okay? For years, 10 years, from the time I was 19 till I was 29, I bounced around Alcoholics Anonymous jail and I always heard, find a sponsor that has something that you want. Right? I want what you have. And I would see guys driving badass cars, right? Big gold diamond rings, ex-dancer old lady. You know what I mean? I'm like, dude, I want some. What 20-year-old alcoholic doesn't want that? It's like, I want that, right? The truth is what I want is somebody who's had a spiritual experience as a result of working the steps. Because they can show me how they've recovered from alcoholism. Right? That's what I'm looking for. So if you're looking for a sponsor, that's one of the main questions that you ask somebody that you ask to be your sponsor. Buddy, is have you had a spiritual experience as a result of working the steps? And if they haven't, I'd find somebody else. You know? I'd find a sponsor who had a spiritual experience as a result of working the steps. They can show me through unity, service, and recovery, right? The mind, body, and spirit. It's like, Ebby went to Bill, right? And Bill goes, I got to find this power. It didn't originate in him. It originated somewhere else. And that's the power we're talking about. That we want. I want to find somebody who can talk to me about the mental piece, right? The physical piece and the spiritual piece. And tell me, look, where am I at in unity? Where am I at in service? Where am I at in recovery? The main thing, somebody who's had a spiritual experience by the result of working the steps, is they're going to know the big book. Guys, I read the big book like a novel for a long time. I was like, oh yeah, it's about this stockbroker and this butt doctor and they, you know, these lofty ideals that they had in the third, you know what I mean? I couldn't relate. It's like I didn't understand that the first 164 pages were, it's a textbook. The first 164 pages is a textbook how to have a spiritual experience. It shows you exactly how to do that. Nobody ever told me that. I really, really wanted to be sober. Literally, if somebody would have said, look dude, take your redneck ass and run naked down the street, I would have done it because I didn't want to drink, man. I didn't want to drink. And I got around these guys when I was 29 years old when I met my current spouse. This is 13 years ago. God, I'm getting old. And they were talking about the same thing that Mark was talking about working the steps quickly, about getting connected, and about being a service. And it sounded like they were speaking a different language, right? I had never heard that. I had always heard, if I just go to meetings, right, if I can just make it to my 8 o'clock meeting and sit there till 9 o'clock and then go home and go to sleep, I'll have one more day. And literally, I stayed sober like that one time for 3 years and 3 months. And at the end of 3 years and 3 months, I had a bottle of Crown Royal and a pistol, and either I was going to drink or I was going to shoot myself. And I thank God I drank. You know, I wouldn't be here. So many people do that. Meeting is, you know, meeting makers sometimes don't make it. I know I didn't that way. So my job as a sponsor is this, is to hold God's hand and hold my sponsee's hand just long enough to where they have a connection and then back away. The most important thing that my sponsor has ever taught me is not to depend on him, but to depend on a higher power. He's taught me that. That's probably the most valuable lesson that man's ever taught me. He doesn't get involved in my drama. He will listen to some step work around it, right? And he will tell me his experience. And here's the deal. My sponsor's a busy guy, right? But he's available to me. And that's such a big part, I feel like, is being available to your sponsees. I can call my sponsor, and it doesn't matter where he is in the world, in an airport, wherever he is. I don't know what your experience is with him, but he'll call me back. If he does not answer my phone, he will call me back. And here's something else, too, that I grind my teeth about. With a lot of people, I don't call my sponsees. That's horseshit, is what that is. It is. I don't call my sponsees. It's a relationship, right? If I know a guy's hurting, if I know a guy's in between columns 2 and columns 3 on his 4-step, and I haven't heard from him in a couple of days, I will guarantee you I'm calling him, right? Because I know he's in the middle of the spiritual malady. I know he's dredging this stuff up. I think that's crap. I call my guys. And they call me. Right? My sponsor calls me. If I don't hear from him, if I'm not at my home group for a couple of meetings, right? If I'm hanging out with my old lady like I like to do because she's 15 years younger than me and really good looking, right? He'll be like, what are you doing, bro? I'm like, I'm hanging out. He's like, okay, just checking. You know? But he checks on me. And I think I think it's our responsibility to do that as sponsors. Right? I don't ask my guys to do anything that I'm not doing myself. I do not ask my guys to do anything. I'm going to back up just a bit. Anybody that tells you they like doing inventory is a liar. Okay? I hate doing steps 4 and 5. You know why I do them? Same reason I drank whiskey. I like the effects produced. Right? My sponsor's active in the work. I stay active in the work. Usually it's like I'll make some of these phone calls with him and it'll be like, oh, you probably got a piece of inventory to write. He's like, we're going to have breakfast on Wednesday. Tuesday night, right? I'm writing inventory. Because I don't like, you know? But I don't ask my guys to do stuff that I'm not willing to do. I continue to stay active in the work, right? I continue to make amends. I've still got a few amends left, right? Some that are some of those ones that when God presents those in my life, I've made an effort to do those. So I don't ask my guys to do stuff that I'm not doing. I actively stay in steps 10. I actively do a nightly inventory. I have a group text with my boys that we just text each other done. When we do our nightly inventory at night, I don't make them text me. They're not, I don't care what's on their nightly inventory, right? I'm not controlling their lives. I just want to make sure, I want some accountability that they're doing it. So I've got a group with a little, you know, I sponsor about 8 guys that are locally in my little town, and we text each other done. You know what I mean? And that's like accountability, because I'll be laid up in bed at 11 o'clock at night, and it'll skip doing my nightly, and my phone will go ding, ding, ding. And I know it's my little guys doing their nightly inventory, so I'll get my fans up, and I'll get, you know, I'll get on my phone, and I'll go through and I'll ask myself those questions. You know, was I resentful, right? Did I cause harm? What did I pat back into the history of my life? Those things that it teaches us to ask. I do that with my guys because I expect them to do it, so I have to do it. We can't transmit something that we don't have as a sponsor. The main thing, guys, that I think that gets missed, there are people who are going to come into Alcoholics Anonymous that you are specifically qualified to help. You. Nobody else. There is somebody that could walk in this door that needs to hear the message from you. So it's our responsibility to do that stuff, guys. It's our responsibility to carry a message of hope to the newcomers, right? To pull them with the vision. Not push them, right? I never force my guys to work the steps. And I'll work the steps as fast as the guy wants to work the steps with me. I'll give a guy an assignment, and if he's Johnny on the spot with it, we will literally in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, get through the step work, right? And I've got him actively looking for guys to sponsor, raising his hand. You know why? Y'all read the book, right? Bill Wilson did his amends in the hospital, right? He's detoxing. He did all the step work, right? It doesn't take a year to do the steps, right? And besides, if you're a drunk like I'm a drunk, there's like a small window of opportunity where my butt is, my willingness is directly proportional to how bad I've had my butt kicked by alcohol, right? It's like, and I got this window of opportunity to jump through before my ego rebuilds, right? And I got to jump through it. I'm a fat guy. It's a little window. I got to go fast, right? I'm going to die fast. I need the power of God in my life right now, right? I don't need the power of God in my life in a year. I do need it in a year. That's wrong. I need it right now, though. I need God to come in my life today. Right? And that's what I'm telling you guys. It's available to us and for us to transmit to others. We have the opportunity to help people change their life. Before AA, y'all know what happened to guys like us, right? Frontal lobotomies, right? We died in some institution or somebody's basement, drank ourselves to death. I'm that kind of alcoholic. And we have the opportunity to completely save people. Guys, if you're not sponsoring, you're missing out. If you don't have a sponsor, get a sponsor. And if you're looking for a sponsor, get one who's had a spiritual experience as a result of working the steps. Thank you, guys. That's all I got. I think we're going to do a question and answer.
I'm going to close with an article here. Hopefully it'll tie everyone back together. It's called Confessions of a Big Book Sponsor. It's written by someone in my sponsorship lineage out in Toronto. I have shortened it up considerably because it was a long article. But I'll just go ahead and read it here. It's called Confessions of a Big Book Sponsor. I remember asking someone in the fellowship a few years ago, "Are you working your program?" He replied, "Yes, I went to a meeting today." I responded, "No, that's not what I'm talking about. Are you working with someone?" He said, "Yes, I have a sponsor." I replied, "No, that's not what I'm talking about. Are you working with a newcomer?" He said, "I'm just a few months sober. I'm only a newcomer. This is a selfish program. I need to work on myself first." I never saw him again. Who am I? I'm a big book sponsor. I practice the 12-step program as outlined in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. The original recipe for recovery as practiced by the original 100 who recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. You can recognize me at 12-step meetings because I am the one who brings my own big book. To show other alcoholics precisely how I've recovered is the main purpose of this book. I carry a common solution, a way out in which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can enjoin as brothers and sisters in harmonious action. My deportment shouts that I am a person with a real answer. I carry no attitude of holier than thou. I do not talk down to the alcoholic from any moral or spiritual hilltop. I ask for no payment. I have no axes to grind, nor people to please. You can expect to endure no lectures from me. My only desire is to be helpful. I offer friendship and fellowship. What do I do? You will find me at 12-step meetings armed with the facts about myself. As an ex-problem drinker, you will see me making the approach to the newcomer, looking for someone who needs and wants to hear about our common solution, someone with an honest desire to stop drinking, someone who wants what I have and is willing to follow instructions as outlined in the big book, someone who wants to be joyous and free of active alcoholism. Working with other alcoholics. I have carried the message of the big book to many alcoholics, and rarely have I seen a person fail who had thoroughly followed our path. Untreated alcoholics are unlovely people. My struggles with them are strenuous, comic, and tragic. Those who could not or would not see our way of life are often consumed by their temptations, which leads them to the gates of insanity or death. I have worked hard with many alcoholics on the idea that only an alcoholic can help another alcoholic. I've had many failures. I once asked another Big Book sponsor about their success rates, and she replied, "I am 100% successful." Astounded, I asked, "How is that possible?" She replied, "I'm still sober." That to me is one of the best kept secrets in our fellowship today. I often hear that this is a selfish program, but whenever I put my sobriety first, I couldn't stay sober. When I started showing the newcomer how to stay sober, I found no trouble staying sober. As Dr. Bob once remarked, strenuous work one alcoholic with another was vital to permanent recovery. Love and tolerance of others is my code. In the 12-step rooms, I've been accused of being a step Nazi, a big book thumper, a holy roller, a zealot, a big book page pusher, and recently I was called a step tard. I have been thrown out of groups and asked not to come back. I have been asked not to bring my big book to some AA meetings. I have been physically and verbally threatened by members of the fellowship for teaching that our 12-step program can be learned in a week. I have been blamed for killing people with the big book. When confronted with such animosity, my program tells me I have to look at my part. Have I been crusading, righteous, or critical? Have I been engaging in frothy debates or windy arguments? Have I been demonstrating an attitude of intolerance? Yes, there have been those times when I've been all these things, but I claim spiritual progress, not perfection, and I am no saint. I confess that I am a big book fundamentalist. I work my big book like a recipe of recovery. When I follow the 12-step instructions as outlined in the book, it awakens my mind and I make conscious contact with my higher power. I must remember that when I focus my mind on what is wrong with the fellowship today and the meetings today, the more I become restless, irritable, and discontent. I must remember that the meetings are filled with many suffering and untreated alcoholics, many of them with long-term sobriety. Therefore, I practice what I can positively add to the meeting. My only desire is to be helpful. Sometimes I have charged the meeting makers of killing people with their don't drink and go to meetings mantra. In return, the meeting makers make it sect have accused me of killing people with my big book thumping attitude. What I have learned is this. It is not the meeting makers that are killing people, nor is it the big book thumpers. It is the 20 or 30 years of abusive drinking and using that kills the alcoholic. I must remember that I have no monopoly on recovery, but I do know that the big book solution works. Why do I continue to work with other alcoholics? Over the years, I have witnessed a fellowship grow about me. I've watched the spirit grow in the eyes of a suffering individual and seen them recover from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. I've seen them make a 100-degree turn in life, only to help some other suffering alcoholic do the same. this is the experience I would not miss. I know you will not want to miss it either. Frequent contact with newcomers and other big book sponsors is the bright spot of my day. A vision for you. Thus I grow spiritually and so can you with the big book in your hand. It contains all you will need to begin working with the alcoholic who still suffers. I know what you are thinking. I'm only a newcomer myself, and I do not have enough sobriety time to be useful to anyone. What could I possibly offer another newcomer? Maybe I should wait a year or two. Rubbish. By working the big book solution, you will tap into a source of power greater than yourself. To duplicate with such backing what I've accomplished is only a matter of willingness, patience, and labor. Remember, your reliance is always upon your higher power. It will show you how to create the fellowship you crave. Ask in morning meditation what you can do for the alcoholic who still suffers. The answers will come if you work your program. But if you are on shaky ground, you better work with another alcoholic instead. Remember, you have recovered and been given the power to help others. You will soon find out that when all other measures failed, work with another alcoholic will save the day. Give freely of what you have been shown and joyous in the broad highway of fellowship of the Spirit. You will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to happy destiny. Trust God, clean house, and help others. Thank you. Thanks, speakers. Thanks, everyone. Do we close with the Lord's Prayer? Good. Thanks, everyone.